All right, I'm Neil Spiro, Presbyterian. Here's my my background. I've been a lot of places. People ask me, what's the best place to live? I love Albuquerque. In fact, you know, all those spots. I think Albuquerque's the best. Sunny. I have a convertible. Sunny, 300 days out of the year. It's beautiful. But I went to ASU, and I graduated with a math degree. So I started as an actuary with Blue Cross of Arizona, and then went to Utah and was the VP of actuarial and underwriting. And then halfway through my career at Utah, my CEO comes up to me and says, Neil, we want you to be the VP of sales. I go, is this a joke? He goes, no, we're serious. We want you to be the VP of sales. I said, do I have a choice? He said, no. I said, great plan, let's do it. So from that point on, I was the VP of sales and marketing from the rest of my career there, and absolutely loved it, because I think several people have probably gone from underwriting to sales, and it's just a great background to have, especially like when I was in with Wellmark and dealing with the large accounts, large consultants, you know, going toe-to-toe. They try to push you on trends and how's that, and you know, all right, you have an answer. And then, we're New Mexico. I'm amazed when I go places, like people don't even know we're like New Mexico. I think it's Mexico, you know? And in fact, we had a wedding, and we had a bunch of people stay in our house. And this one gal, she's like 30 years old. She goes, is it okay to drink the water here? I said, no. I said, we use bottled water. We're in New Mexico. So for that's like day and a half, she's drinking bottled water until she sees somebody drinking water, and she looks at me, and I drink bottled water. So anyway, New Mexico has like 2 million, 45%, 852,000 are on Medicaid. So it's huge Medicaid, poor state. About 600,000 commercial members. Individual and small group, 100. So there's not a huge opportunity here in New Mexico. In fact, I think there's only two carriers, us and Blue. No, there's others. But Blue Cross is our main competition. We also have now a co-op in there. But first, a few little-known facts. I mean, this is Friday. I'm surprised people are still here. I would have paid much more attention on this presentation if I knew everyone's still going to be here. All right, so if you come to New Mexico, you gotta go to Roswell. That's where they have the, I don't know if anyone's been there. Anybody? You've been to the Roswell Museum? They have this museum there, and they're serious about this. They actually think that, you know, this is where the aliens landed, the first alien. And I went there with some of my staff, and they're like believers. And I'm going, come on, these are pictures from where they you know, take you around. It's a big museum. And I go, are you serious? I go, that looks like a little rock. That's like, you know, these Martians like this big. I mean, it's, I go, huh? Yeah, and then, so then they go, no, here, this is really serious. This guy gets, you know, he looks official. He's got something there that makes him look like a pilot or something, you know what I mean? And that's the debris. People actually think this is true, debris, and this debris is worse stuff. But you know, this what blew it for me are the curtains. He's at his grandma's house, for God's sake. Look at this. I go, you're not gonna do this. All right. So if you don't believe it, that's what they have, and you have the alien, which you know it's totally phony. But now I'm a believer, man. Nixon is interviewing an alien in the I don't know what that's about. All right, so on the serious side, in we have White Sands Missile Base. White Sands Missile Base. That's where the first bomb went off for. It was a Trinity site, and that's where the first bomb, Manhattan Project, Oppenheimer, and all those smart dudes getting together and creating this baby. It was nicknamed the Gadget, and incredible force, 20 kilotons. It wipes out anything within a mile radius, levels it. Nothing. Takes you to the ground. And from there, it led to the end of the war with, of course, you had Little Boy and Fat Man. And Little Boy was uranium-based. All they do is, like, in there, I think there's a cannon, hits the uranium, blows it up, fission, all that kind of start, and starts the reaction. But they dropped that August 6, 1945, that cloud goes up about 30,000 feet. And then the next one's Fat Man, that ended the war. I Googled, you know, Fat Man bomb, and I swear to God, this picture comes up. I go, they have all these pictures of bombs, and this fat guy, destructive force in a refrigerator, and he'll kill a refrigerator like that. Okay, here's a Fat Man. It's plutonium. Went from uranium to plutonium and creates this Nagasaki, which ended the war. And then now we have, which I think, who's the crazy dude in North Korea? Would love to get a hand on this hydrogen bomb. You thought the other bomb was powerful. Now they have hydrogen, which I think you probably know, but I didn't know it was this strong. 4,000 times more powerful than that gadget and then what they dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And that's even like, they toned it down. They had to like de-do something, and it still did, you know, takes out everything. So imagine if you want to stay with, okay, so now it's just so you're not, you know, foolish, look stupid when you come to New Mexico. We got red and green chili. I didn't know, you know, green chili. It's a big deal there. Don't make fun of it. We'll kill you, I swear to God. Okay, so the red is the red. You with me?
Yeah.
Green's green. Okay, Christmas is when you mix the two. So when they go, if you want Christmas, don't go, eh. No, no. Just say red, green, Christmas. Christmas, you mix the two. All right. Now, the restaurant to go to, El Pinto. Been there for ages, ages. Beautiful. It's to me, it all tastes the same. It's Mexican food. I shouldn't say that. It does, but El Pinto is a great place to go. So if you come to New Mexico, go to El Pinto. We're also famous. We've got the longest continuous tram in the world, which means it's one cable. It is amazing. And if you go to El Pinto and then ride this thing, you're going to heave right around here. It is. It goes down, but that's a fun ride. It takes you to the top. You know what's weird? You're looking over. That's looking at Albuquerque, and you get to the top of the mountain. You can actually take your skis and ski down on the other side. So it's like dry, no trees here, and over here it's all trees, but kind of fun. And then, of course, the Balloon Fiesta. That's the first week in October. It is amazing. It's like 900 balloons go in the air at once, and I don't know how they do it. You know, they're all like bumping each other. And I'm surprised, like, you know, where do you land? So you have 900 balloons, and you usually have very light winds or floating all over the place, and you would think they'd be landing on rooftops and the freeway, but they don't. They don't. But they usually have one death a year from someone running into a wire or something. And I don't know if you knew this, this is the last slide on, we'll get onto the serious stuff now, is we have the minor league team, Isotopes, and there was this show called Homer Simpson, I think everybody knows, that they were moving the Isotopes, was the name of the team in the show, and they were moving them, trying to save them from leaving Albuquerque or something like that. I didn't watch the show. But they voted on the name, and 67% of the people voted, let's do Isotopes because of Homer Simpson. That's how we got the name. All right, so Presbyterian, our most important ASO client or not. And I say or not because, you know, I'll talk about it, but they weren't, you know. In fact, we were like completely separate. We had like sides going on, you know. We had the delivery system side and the health plan side, and we were separate. And in fact, you know, Jim Hinton was our CEO at the time. And he said, you know, every time we have to get rid of the side things. We don't want to say sides anymore. So every time you said side, you had to pay $5, put it in a kitty for, you know, whatever we did with it. But we're that way. So here's what Presbyterian, we're integrated. You know, we have about 750,000 members into the system. We have about 470 in the health plan. They work with United Healthcare and Cigna and others. But 8 hospitals, medical group, and so forth. But we're creating a company called Fluent. And it's kind of relative here in that Fluent, we have PHP is the health plan, and we have like 1,000 employees in there. And we're creating this, we're going to move into North Carolina because they're our neighbor. No, I got that backwards. Because they're creating a risk-based Medicaid program that we think we do a good job at because we're all Medicaid. And we've been risk-based for years and years and years. So we're now working with these 11 health systems in North Carolina, the top systems, and they're gonna RFP's coming out from the state for a Medicaid program. So we're gonna be the back room. We're gonna do the claims, customer service, we're involved in the care, we're even taking risk on it. So we're taking 25% of the risk in, so we're kinda like, it's like an ASO deal, we're the TPA basically, back room stuff for it. So I asked our legal department, I go, you know, I'm making a presentation, give me a diagram of how it works, you know, the structure. So I get this. I go, what the hell is this? I don't even know where I am on this chart. So I did my own. That's simple. Yeah. So nothing legal whatsoever, but Presbyterian Health Services, that's the, we call it the enterprise. I guess, you know, Star Trek. And they're the mothership. So Presbyterian Health Service is the mothership, and under that is Presbyterian Health Plan, and then the delivery system. And delivery system has like 10,000 employees. We have 1,000 employees. But under Presbyterian Health Plan is Fluent. Is this? We just broke it out. We put about 650 of our employees now are the operational side, more or less, and the others are, I don't know, me. All right. So here's where we are. So here's what I'm saying. You know, it's PHS is one of our, I don't know how many you're from all over the place. These are all of our large groups, 500 plus in New Mexico. We have two pages. I didn't want to put the other page up because it would have been boring. But if you know you go to California or Texas or anywhere, wherever you're from, and list all your groups over 500, it'd be a book. We have two pages. And Presbyterian is right there. We're number four. So we have these, it's called IBAC. It's the Interagency Benefit Association. And it's where the state got together and the schools got together. There's four groups in it. And what's that? Kind of, yeah. Yeah, it's made up of the four largest in the state. And that's what, and we're in it. And we have, you can see our membership on the right, the percentage. But those are the large groups. Right under that is City of Albuquerque, which has 16,000, and it's fully insured. You know, they can't go, they have a hard time just going self-funded just because of the political nature of it. But anyway, PHS is, we have 16,000 members, and we treat them like, you know, they weren't even part of us. So, from 2010 to 16, I mean, this was the deal. They were using a consultant, Mercer. They weren't even, like, looking at us. I mean, you know, like, what's going on in the market? How should we structure our stuff? You know, what's our competitors doing? We were, like, separated, you know, sides. Up, $5. Poof. And, you know, those large groups, we were charging them, like, $28 PEPM. We stuck it to, because they're on the other side. You know, we could charge them $56 PEPM, you know? And they didn't say, I don't know. That was the kind of relationship. It was completely separate. We really weren't engaged. And, you know, there must have been a reason for it. I don't know, but we were separate. So then in 2017, our economy goes into the toilet. If you open that, you'll see New Mexico in there. Visual, huh? But what happened was the oil goes down. So our economy is based on the price of oil. Every dollar is worth $10 million to our budget. So, you know, gas, oil went from 100 down to 2 or something like that. So our economy struggled. What does that mean? It means that, hey, we need the state who pays for Medicaid, risk-based, says, hey, we got to cut you back. They cut us back like $150 million. Not just us, but just the program itself, and we're most of that program. And so it put pressure on employee benefits. And not only just Medicaid, I don't know if everyone else is having a rough year. We're having a rough year. The star rating, we went from 4.5 to 3.5 for our Medicare, which meant about $20 million to us, taking a hit. Our individual plans were losing upwards of $30 million just on our individual plans. And we only had 25,000 members, and we're losing $30 million on it. We're seeing high trends on commercial and just even just building this Fluent, the build out. We're building another building. hiring people, because we have to have this organizational chart in place for when the RFP comes out in North Carolina. So that's the reason for all this. Anyway, so they're saying, hey, we need to tighten our belts on this, you know. And here's the cost. We're spending like $80 million right now on employee health benefits. This is PHS, Mothership Enterprise. The ask from the CEO of the enterprise was, we need to save $5 million on top of that. Based on current, not the increase. So we wanted to hit, a $9 million, $10 million savings. And our employee satisfaction, we don't want to hurt that. And we don't want to disrupt our recruiting because, we need to recruit physicians. I think everyone's in that boat, right? PCPs, there are not enough of them. And so they came to us. They came, me, Troy is our actuary and underwriter, and then Tom is in charge of our care management. So they bring us into this people committee. And people committee sounds, kind of fun, Sesame Street, this is great, Not. It's intense. It's the two CEOs, it's the VPs, the people in charge of. But here's where the disconnect. We were talking about this the other day. There's this disconnect between health benefits and just health care. Insurance and health care. Because I don't know what they were thinking. They're thinking like, well, don't touch us, but fix the health insurance. Okay. You know what I mean? It's like, they know that if they reduce their rates, it means a lower rate, but there wasn't this connection with the health benefit, which I'm surprised. We walk around saying, which was a good thing. So they said, we need to be innovative. And, the three of us are looking at each other like, all right, we need to be innovative. We're going to be innovative. And so we thought, we went through the whole rigmarole of let's do a tiered, but 65% of we're already using Presbyterians. So what's a tiered plan? You get them in there, same thing. We didn't dare throw out the idea of, why don't you lower your fee schedule? No. Don't go there. Don't lower the fee schedule. Or the relationship that if, if we're really innovative, the insurance gets less, and your income goes down. Didn't quite, it's like this elephant in the room thing. Do you know the impact? Should we talk about it? And we just felt uncomfortable even bringing up this idea of, let's talk about what happens when you lower your benefits. So anyway, we went through the whole rigmarole. We did the competitive comparison within, because there. It's important. Your benefits are important. There's other systems, UNM and so forth. They're trying to hire docs. You want to be competitive there. So we showed them all the competitive analysis of where we stand. And this is just simply saying our benefits were richer than, we're trying to build an argument. Our benefits are a little bit richer than everybody else. And the benefit design, I don't know who set this up. Well, Mercer, But it doesn't show it here, but we have a high deductible plan where it's 24 single, it's not embedded, it's $3,600 on the family. And then we have a copay plan, which is pretty rich, it's copays. But the weird thing here is that if you're a family, and we do have a salary-based thing though, but there were people who were paying more in premium a year, because this one costs this amount, and this one copay plan costs this much. They were paying more for the copay plan than the deductible. It's like, what are you, nuts? No, these are physicians. I didn't say that to them. Because a lot of them are. They think, the copay plan, that's the better plan. We should be on the better plan. It's the rich plan. It's the one we should put it on. No, you just take your premium you're paying, put that in your HSA, which we use Health Equity. By the way, they do a fabulous job for us. They just came out and did a presentation to brokers, and they hit the mark. But so their design was off. So we went through and looking at, we're trying to be innovative, but innovative means you're changing benefits. So even the salaries are outdated. They have salaries if you're make less than 25,000, which I think they were like two people. So why do you create a band with two people in it? And then over 80, you know, you had like 90% of them there or something. So we adjusted all this. It's not being innovative. It's just you know putting things back in line. And we even did this stuff. You know, what's important based on, you know, youngers want this, older people, you know, I want security. So we came back with, brilliant, hey, we can either decrease benefits, this is innovation, decrease benefits or raise premiums. Brilliant, yeah. So, but that's not what they wanted to hear. But we had to go around in circles, and we went through the tiered things, and let's put this and do this. But you end up here, and we ended up with they didn't know the relationships between like the value of benefits. Like if you do that, there's some benefits you change. People don't really get too hung up on it, but you change a copay $5. So we kept things with that in mind. So now it's give and take. Now the other problem we had was that because the economy is in the toilet, salary increases are an unknown. In fact, the CEO wrote a letter on their blog saying that, we're unsure what's going to happen because the legislature may have to do more for financial reasons in our state, and the governor may put more, not a tax on us, but may put some of the load onto us. So we'll be in worse shape. So until we know that, he sends out a memo saying there may not, we're looking at, and first that just sets off if you read the blog, I don't know if your CEO does a blog on the website, or CEO does a blog on the website, and he put that one up, and all of a sudden, all the people, people can respond. It wasn't pretty. It was like, we bust our... Anyway, so we have this... salary issue, and now we want to decrease benefits by 11% and keep everybody happy. So we came up with, here are some things. We on the give side, do you do a little premium increase and benefits, or one or the other? We said, no, let's just do benefits. If you do both, it's like a double whammy. So we just decrease benefits. We did this incentive thing, and you may want to look at this. I mean, as far as we give dollars. We do this for a lot of our major employers now. We'll go out there and say, this is because the story from the sales side is we're gonna really manage your care, and that's what we care about. And here are some things we can do that if out of our admin, we'll give you incentive dollars if you complete all these things. And you can see down below we have video visits, BrightMD, and PressRN. We do, it's telemedicine, we have video visits available. It's free in all of our plans. So we don't charge a copay. We pay for it all as part of our admin. So all of our commercial, all of our ASO, they get free video visits. But it's not PMG. It's not our docs. We're using docs from, but it's cool. But people don't use it. It's kind of like the transparency tools. Yeah, they're not using it as they should. So we're trying to promote it in a way that this is going to save you money. Employer, it's going to save employees money because it's zero copay. And then we have BrightMD is a similar deal where, it's just a similar deal. And then we have our own press line. We have our own nurses. So our nurse line isn't regular nurse line. It's us, and they have access to Epic. They're looking at your records. So when they call in, we say, oh, you went to the emergency room. You're serious. We better, So we sell that as access. And there's always these issues with access. I think everybody's having access issues. We're trying to resolve that. I'm putting it back on the employer. I say, we don't have access. You have access issues. You're the one using it. It's not my fault. I swear to God, I blame the brokers. I go, it's our job to solve this access. It's not, it's not me, it's you. So I tell them, because if you do it right, you resolve it. If you use your video visit first, we have MyChart, and you probably don't know. MyChart is on Epic. You can go out, yeah, you guys have that, where you can get your drugs, you can email your physician, so forth. You don't have to, I have a sore throat. I need to go see my doc. Cut that out. You know, we don't want you doing that anymore. So we try to blame them. And it's working. We go to like our largest employer, the state has 40,000 members. They're going, wow, this is great. Let's really promote it. Whew, about time. All right, so we're doing this for our own employees, you know, because our own employees are complaining about access. You know, like somebody will hire a physician, and they're saying, I can't get a doc. You know, all right, so we're also putting in, this is for our own employees now. This is like the give and take. We're giving them wellness incentives of $250 or something like that. We create a dedicated service line for just our employees. So we have five in our customer service unit just for them. You wouldn't believe how much play that got. That got a lot of play. HSA, $200. Then for out of state, this is where multi-plan chimes in. Is Kevin here? Did he leave? All right, we can talk bad about him. Where is he? No, I'm kidding. When physicians would come, if you had like family still living in another state, it'd be out of network. And he goes, what are you doing? I mean, who set this up? Just make it, use multi-plan, have it in network. All of our groups, small group, large group, I mean, we treat it as in network if you're out of state. We don't pay it, right? We always screw it up. But we are, you know, once you call us, we'll fix it. You know, it's one of those things. I don't know if you guys have that problem too, but we screw it up constantly. Like our claims payers, you know, out of state, out of network, same thing. No, you know, they just get it backwards. So bundled payment, I'll talk about this a little, where this is weird. They agreed to this. Okay, so we bundle payment, I don't know, pick. We do knees, colies, something else. So if you want your knee done, we did a bundled payment that if you're, you know, we look at the total cost. If your total cost is, as a member, let's say $2,000, we'll make your copay $1,000 if you go here. So we just now took that out of the benefit package and put it on copays. You go here, it's $2,000, you go here, it's $1,000. But here for $1,000 is not us, which is like, whoa. It's New Mexico Orthopedic, which is not part of Presbyterian, and they're willing to do that. I said, guys, if we're going to do this bundle payment, I can't like put them into you where it's more expensive because we're going to sell this to our large ASO groups. You know, I mean, they're the one who initiated all this bundled payment, and their price, our price, is exposed, transparency. So we said, if you can match it, that's not even good enough. You have to get lower so that we can put the copay here and push, you know, channel to you. They said, no, we don't want them. All right? So we used New Mexico Orthopedics as the favored nation for, you know, for doing knees and so forth. But we're putting that in our plan. I mean, I thought we're making progress. You know, this is like progress. You're talking about like sides. You know, now you're starting to think. And from there, this is my last slide. Did you ever see the Sprint commercial? Boom, out of here. If you're gonna print two slides, print this one and my thank you slide. So if you have like a side thing going on in a meeting, it's great to like put welcome and have this slide, you know, welcome to the meeting. And elephant in the room. Okay, outcome for our discussion. Okay, here's some things that we do. And that kind of came out of this. It's about working together. I think it worked out pretty well. And they're now engaged because they want, because of the economy and everything that's happened, they're saying, we need more commercial business. You know, Medicaid, it's a tough game. Medicare, I don't know if you can live, if you ask your system if they can live on Medicare reimbursement, I wonder what they'd say. We're saying no. We need commercial. So now we created a commercial strategy group, which is made up of the people from the delivery system, us, to really look for ways that we can put on more business. And you know, we weren't there, you know, not too long ago. I mean, it was the side thing going on. It was the elephant in the room. But now we are, because they're willing to throw in to get business. And it could be ASO, could be, applies to everything. But we're bidding on account right now. They're saying, well, we'll give you a discount network if we're sole. Because right now we're Slice Carrier. We're Slice Carrier in It's a group called, it's a community college. And they have about 3,000 members, and they're saying, and half of it is Blue Cross. So we're saying, well, how can we get this thing sold? And this is like, they start drooling over that, because in New Mexico, there's two networks. There's Loveless and Presbyterian, and they should never meet. So you have Press Hospitals, Press PMG, our provider group. You have Loveless and DaVita, or Albuquerque Health Partners. They changed their name. It's separate. So our goal is to, like, when we pull people in, the margin on their side, $5. The margin is 20% on the healthcare. They can't tell us everything, you know, because you have this firewall up, but I sneak under every now and then. But their costs are about 20. Their margin is about 20%, where our margin on business is like 4%. We shoot for a 4% margin. They're 20. So can we use this to go after groups? So they're saying, yeah, if we can go sold, I'll give you a great discount. I'll give you 10% off your current network price. Just for that group. Don't go throwing this to everywhere, you know, just for that group. Which creates a little bit of a problem, because you have to, you know, if this group smells it and the brokers and then everybody else wants it, so you gotta be a little careful. And we are. They're even like, we have the, anybody hear about the Intel when the gal came talked about Intel? Yeah. Well, that's where they're guaranteeing a PMPM. You know, make it up. So $400, they're saying next year it's going to be trend. They wanted to go down. Intel's a tough group. They wanted, well, if we're at 400, we want to be at 380 next year. So the delivery system, we came up with this corridor, and they're actually guaranteeing contract with a delivery system, guaranteeing trend and PMPM. Pretty innovative. Bundled payments I talked about, they're willing to do it now and not even use themselves, and realizing if that's what the market wants, we got to get there, and we've got to get there soon. And if a couple years ahead, if we start switching things around, we'll switch things around. Access. It's your fault. guaranteed access. They're willing to, I mean, they're coming to the table because, you know, it's in our market where even when we're bidding on this group, Clay Holderman, who's in charge of all of the delivery systems, said, hey, he heard that the broker's telling them not to come with us because we have access issues. So it got back to him that we have access issues. And he said, we've got to do, now they're saying we've got to do something about it, you know, instead of us like yelling, we need access. Now they're saying we've got to fix it, so they're now willing to guarantee access. I don't know what that means, I just say it, you know, we'll guarantee access. I think what we're saying there, seriously, is that when you come on over, we'll set up tables, we'll get you, we'll have a our customer service who assigns everybody, and we'll get you access. And we do, as far as, a little side note, as far as implementation, I think we do a great job during that open enrollment process. We bring out pharmacy people, we bring out physicians, we bring out customer service, we're signing them up, we got computers, sign them up on MyChart. That goes a long way. You want to do it up front, you know. You really want to get that stuff done up front, like sign them up for a video, get them signed up so they use it. We even make them, like, pull your phone out, put in this number, save it, press RN. So we make them save our press RN number on their phone when they come through the line, you know. And if you do that, we'll give you a $5 Starbucks card. All right, so clinical. Now here's the other thing, clinical scorecards and guarantees. I mean, it's come a long way. They're now saying, all right, for these large employers, we're willing to guarantee our clinicals. Because before we would do it, but we had no control over it. So we kept getting in these arguments of, well, hold on, you can't do that because we don't do this. We can't, you're back on the side thing. So now it's over into their court saying, let's guarantee clinicals. And, you know, pick one. You go through your data. We just put in a new system called MediAnalytics. We spent $80 million on this analytical system. So now you can get down into the gaps of care. Get into the gaps of care of that employer. We can go all drill down to any group and look at what are your gaps. And say, pick one, asthma, heart, whatever. And say, we'll improve this score. We tie it to HEDIS because you're going. It kind of ties things together. And we'll improve this score and put money on it. And they'll put money on it, which I think is a big step. As far as incentives, they're willing to, hey, if this group is looking for some sort of incentive, we'll participate. Marketing, wellness incentives, and so forth. The other thing we do, just side notes, you know, we do offer on-site clinics. We have one out at the casino. And but PMG is not, probably rightfully so, not willing to participate in that. So we use an outside vendor for that stuff. But it works out well. I mean, it really locks the group in, kind of retain, you know, as far as retention. We have a mobile van. We built a mobile van. We own it. We ordered this big old, about the size of this room. And we have like three stations in it, and we built it out, and we're, you know, mobile colonoscopies, come on in. But they park, it's for the city of Albuquerque. The city of Albuquerque owns it. They drive around. The reason why it's a mobile, because they have, you know, they're all over the place, and there's 16,000. And this is how we got it to be sole carrier. The city of Albuquerque, half of it was with Blue Cross. We said, I'll tell you what, we'll build you a mobile van.
Ooh.
That was big. It was $500,000 for this mobile van. It cost us I forgot how much a year. It's like 400, no, nah, I don't want to say. But it was 500,000, 600,000 to build out. But it was worth it. It brought in, I don't know how many millions of dollars of revenue to the system. Now, right now, back then, they didn't pay for it. We paid for it. Now, I'm thinking, if we did that sort of thing and can bring in, you know, $50 million in premium, their margin is 20%. They're saying, all right, we'll chip in on the van. Telemedicine, integrated care. The other, I don't know if, about how your systems work, but we have a hard time integrating our care management. Like physicians, the clinics are doing this, and we're over here doing this, and you know, we call, they call, gets kind of sloppy. So through this process, we're thinking we need to really integrate the care management. But we tell a great story in the market. You know, we're salespeople. It's half true. No. You know, the reason we have a compliance department because of me. That's why I keep telling them that. No, we tell the truth. Yeah. But now we're really working on, okay, now how can we make this? How can we improve it? How can we improve the care management and really make it work and quick? Because that's what we sell. We sell the integrated system. I don't know how you're doing it, but we sell our integration is our value proposition. We spend a ton of time, you know, fine-tuning that story about the integration, the value of it. We're willing to put money on the line. We're building this. That's our approach. And then, you know, this idea of PHS, where it's a learning lab. You know, we'll test products there. I think that's probably a given. One coming out right now is this BrightMD, and it's more of an email visit versus a video visit. If you ever, you get a form, you fill it out, and go back and forth, and boom, they send you a drug. So whatever you like to do. And that's it. Thanks.
Eric? So a quick question for you. So when you guys were doing...
No actuarial questions. I got the frontal lobotomy. They put a bottle in front of me, and now I'm in sales. Go ahead.
Not actuarial. I have no questions about anything actuarial ever. When you guys were doing telemedicine, you said that you had, some of it was specifically PresDocs, but then you also used, you know, I guess a national vendor for it.
Sure.
Was there any pushback at the system level about that taking visits away from your docs?
Totally. At first, they didn't buy into it. You know, in fact, they were trying to $5. They were against it exactly because of that reason. They're afraid you're going to take, you know, money out of our pocket.
How'd you overcome that?
We're going, you're full. You've got access problems. You know, you can't get in to see you. What are you thinking? And then, all right, do it. So they were kind of, but now they're looking like they're buying into it now. They're buying into it. But it was a struggle. They didn't accept it at first. And our CEO at the time, you know, just pushed it hard, saying, we're going with it. In fact, they were trying to go down the path of, in our system, in Epic, you can create something similar, and they thought they were going that, and we said, no, you're 2 years away. We need it now. And we just kind of, it was our CEO that kind of drove it. Yeah.
And so my other question, real quick, how many of your competitors also use your health system? So you mentioned Blues was your chief competitor. They must use Loveless. You know, does anybody else in that market, like the, you mentioned the Co-op or United, Cigna, are they contracted with Prez and you kind of treat those accounts differently because you wouldn't get the system margin?
Right. You want me to explain? Yes. Well, okay, so let me explain our market. We have Presbyterian, United, Cigna. That's this network over here, small one. And then over here, Blue Cross and Health Connections. So if you want Press, you've got to pick these. So United, we have a little better discount. We don't know exactly what it is. I tell the market 5 to 15%. I figure, what the hell? Just create a range. You can't be wrong. So so I create this huge, so I go 5 to 15. We're different. And the same thing with Cigna. I said Cigna is about, and what they do, the way the system works, is that if you're exclusive with us, like United, because they don't use, United does not have Loveless and DaVita in their system. If you're exclusive, we'll give you a good discount. And that good discount is the 5 to 15. Now, Aetna, we jab them. They only get like a 5% discount because they're not exclusive. 5 or 10. I don't know what it is. Give it a range again. So they're about 5%. So it's now, like for example, we're bidding on Sandia National Labs, the bomb people. And they're with United. And the delivery system is going, you know, why? We don't really want you to get that one. Because, you know, we're getting a lot of money. And if you get that one, that means we just cut our revenue on that account by 5 to 15. Can't tell you what, but 5 or 15. So we still deal with that. But our position is, well, hold on, if you have that attitude, why do you have a health plan? You know, what are you doing? What are you talking about here? So they are, am I recorded? They, in fact, when we bid on that last year or so, one of the top people from the delivery system went out with Cigna. I'm going, what the hell are you doing? And actually, the CEO came up and apologized for that one, you know, because I heard it. They tried to keep it secret. You know, no, you can't. No way you're going to keep that one secret. So we found out about it. And yeah, we'll never do that again. But that's, I mean, you have that going on. And I don't know if you guys do it, but we have it going on. But we're starting to get there that either we're integrated, we have to lower costs. Like we're saying, most of our premium now is fixed because of Medicaid. So we've got to do this right, and we're going to do it. Yeah.
Great. Would you mind sharing a couple questions on Televideo? Would you mind sharing who the platform is for the wire Televideo, and then a little bit on, is that fully integrated where your people in customer service can see the visit and the primary care physician gets the records? And then are those Televideo vendors presented to the members as in-network, like anything else? Just some words on that, if you could.
Yeah, who's the physician? It's WebMD, yeah. And the records aren't automatic into Epic. There's a process there, so it's not automated. And that was the one thing they complained about, is that it's not automated. But we're working, so like in the mobile van, that's automatic. The people load it in for the... For video visits, it's clunky. Either the member or the physician has to, and they have to go to a different system and load in that I saw this person and so forth and what it was for. So you kind of miss out there, but you know.
About what, $49 a visit online, something like that?
They so if you're a high deductible plan, you know, you have to charge. We charge, it's $35. But for all of our other plans, it's free. No, it's like an annual thing, but they charge $35 for the visit for the person. So if you go in, and you're on a high deductible plan, they'll charge you $35. I forgot what we're spending on this thing. If I was to guess, I think it's up around $500,000 a year. Is my guess. But it's a fixed amount that we're spending. So if we have only like 20, that's why we want to increase utilization. This whole push is let's get it up there. Because if you're only using this much, you're spending, you know, $150 a call. So, yeah.
Thank you. You mentioned slice business and that you have business where you sit alongside a competitor. Mm-hmm. How were you successful in getting that competitor to agree to be sliced with you? Because we would be happy to be sliced in. We offer it all the time, but Anthem and United won't agree to allow us at the table.
Oh, really? Well, maybe I think we're just talking different markets here, because on these large cases, because where the not the problem, but what we have in our state, you have two systems, and they're completely separate. So these large, it's the demand of the employer saying, you know, I got to give my employees choice. And we even lowered to a group, we cut somebody, we'll give you 10% off our rates if we're sole. And they said, no, we can't. We've got it. It's you're talking to the HR department. We probably should have got to the finance people and said 10%. Yeah, we'll do it. You know, heck with everybody. But the HR is saying, no, it's the group demanding that we need both networks. And you're either going to play slice or you're out.
Does the HR department give pushback for that? Because our brokers tell them, oh, my gosh, you don't want to have two carriers working with you. It's more work for you as an HR team.
Depending on the group, those four large groups, it's going to be sliced no matter what. You get into, we just bid on PNM. They wanted, which is our electric company, they wanted one carrier and all networks. So we're going, how's this going to fly? What are you going to do? So we went to so Presbyterian, Loveless. Loveless said, for multi-plan in-state, if we're administering it, we're out. You know what I mean? So we went back to, and this just happened a couple weeks ago. We went back to Kevin and said, Kevin, go talk to Loveless, because there was a history there. Maybe that history's gone, but let's see if we could administer, use multi-plan as in-state in order for us to have access to Loveless. And they said yes. Loveless came back and said yes. But here's the problem. I didn't ask our delivery system whether this is okay. So when I get back on Monday, I'm going, you know, should we do this? Because, you know, this will be us administering. We're the single administrator for Loveless. But the system wants, no, what are you doing? I can smell it now. It's going to be a tough one. I don't think it's going to fly for the group because the discount isn't as great as it would with the Blue Cross. So in our market, you got this dichotomy going on. You have the two different separate systems, and most carriers. And the hard part there, a group moves, they all have to change docs. Oh, man, it is a completely different, this is in Albuquerque, rural different. But if you sell a small group, you're now with this, everyone in that group has to change a doc. That's why at the open enrollment, we set up tables, we'll get you a doc, don't worry, this will be great. So I think it's our market is a little bit different. Every market is a little unique in itself, but we're different. Yeah.
Neil, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good job.